Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f- So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey everyone, you're listening to The Juice Podcast. I'm Erica Ramirez, Senior Editor. And with me today, I have Stephen Horowitz, which is editor at MySpace, and Laura Nostro, which is news editor at Complex Magazine. So, hi guys.
Hey.
Hi.
So this week, for this week's podcast, we're going to talk about Nicki Minaj, which is why I invited you guys here, because you guys are Minaj experts. One specifically is followed by Nicki Minaj on Twitter.
So important. So
life changing.
So important.
I saw that and I was like, oh, it's a big day.
I was really excited. I cried. I was actually home alone. I was working from home and I didn't know who to tell, so I just texted a bunch of people and cried.
No.
Nicki Minaj does not follow me. But
I know she does not follow
me. You just
need
to start standing. You just need to stand. Just favorite everything.
When did you first become a Nicki Minaj stan?
Stan?
Or when were you ready to admit it?
When I was interning at Complex at the time, Ernest, who is my editor, sent me to go see her makeup performance. I think it was at Highline or it was somewhere. It was after Summer Jam.
Yeah.
She had canceled Summer Jam. And then, you know, she had this makeup show and I went by myself. I was an intern. I didn't know any press people. And I felt so uncomfortable. I'd never gone to a show by myself before. So I went to see her. I sang word for word with like all these barbs, like left the press room and like went downstairs and it was incredible. She brought out Foxy Brown. She brought out Cameron. It was like nuts. Wayne, Drake. And I was like, all right, I love her. There's just never been an artist in there. I was like, all right, I actually know every word. And it was, I mean, since the Spice Girls, I guess, or Backstreet Boys.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have similar trajectories.
What about you, Stephen?
I found out about Nicki right before Beam Me Up came out, and it was like I was listening to all the Sucker Free mixtape stuff, right. And I found a video when she was on the Come Up DVD of her in the stairwell like rapping, and that's the video that Wayne like,
the infamous scene.
Yeah, exactly. And I was just like, this girl has such charisma, and like she can fucking rap, and
So. A big part as to why this podcast or this episode is dedicated to Nicki is because Pills and Potions is now her 17th top 10 on the R&B and hip hop chart. And it is, I mean, before this, she still had the record, but it extends the records of her having the most top 10s in the chart as a female rapper. Missy comes like right after her with 12. So what do you guys think about Pills and Potions?
When I first heard it, I was just confused. I really wanted her to just come back rapping. Like, everyone thought she was back to like, Beat Me Up, and it was like, you know, Rap Nicki was back. So at first, I was really confused. Not for myself as a fan, because I grew to really love the song, but more because it's really tiring to be a Nicki fan, especially, you know, when you're working in the industry and you have to, like, constantly defend the fact that she can rap. But it's grown on me a lot. I think it's probably, like, her most personal song, I guess, where she doesn't have Roman as an alter ego. She's not doing any voices. Reminds me of I'm the Best, which we were arguing about on Twitter the other day. But it's really nice to hear her, like, putting herself out there in that personal way. But at first, it definitely did take me, like, a minute or two to really fall in love with the song.
Right.
Just simply because, you know, she had Chirac, she had Lookin', she had all those, even Boss Ass Bitch, she had all those songs that she was just spitting. And everyone's like, oh my God, Nicki's back. And my bosses were like, oh my God, Nicki can finally rap again. It was like, she can't finally rap again. She's
been
rapping again.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think it's funny. I think she kind of trolled a little bit. Because when I heard it was produced by Dr. Luke, I was like, I really hope this is Starship's part two, because everyone will just flip. but, you know, I think it's interesting. I think it was a different way to start this album, I guess.
Right.
But it makes me really curious to hear what else is on it right now.
Right.
It's like kind of my
Because you're going
way.
Off of what she said, which is what it will be, mostly rap, and then getting something that has some rap but not exactly what you expect.
And not the fiery, crazy, oh my God, she just snapped on this verse.
Right.
It's like, it's, you know, rap-bitty, but it's not what I've heard her do at her, like, highest rap peak.
Right. I'm kind of in the same boat. Like, when I first heard it, I didn't get it. But then I thought about it, and it did grow on me as well, and it really reminds me of what happened with Your Love, where it was like, it was actually very similar in a way that it was, you know, it's based in romance, she sings, she raps. It's just kind of like a return to form almost for her, but it doesn't really necessarily indicate where everything's going.
Right. So,
yeah. It always kind of reminded me of, it reminded me of Right Through Me, too.
Right.
Where she's kind of singing on the whole song, and then, like, the last verse, it's one of my favorite verses of hers.
Right.
But, you know, rap fans and rap critics hate some of her stuff, so they don't even give it the time of day. So it's like very hard to defend a song like Right Through Me, where it's like the last verse is great, because they don't get through the first two where she's singing and
whatever. Well, what do you guys think about that internal battle of some of having Nicki sing and having Nicki rap?
I think she can be really confused about what to do in terms of, like, I think Roman Reloaded was a really good example of that, because she can rap her ass up, and she did, but, like, then the second half of the album is all, like, singing songs, pretty much. I think she's pretty versatile, and I think that she can do that, but when it comes to, like, rapping really hard, that's what she does to appease one fan base, and, like, singing is done to appease another fan base, and, like, I think she kind of doesn't necessarily know how to, like, marry the two, as we've seen, like, going from Lookin to Pills and Potions.
Do you think Pills and Potions does that, or do you think that this is a sign that she will for this album?
I mean, like, I don't. I think it's too early to tell.
Yeah.
Just because Pink Friday was so all over the place. Mm-hmm. I don't think you can predict what she's going to do next.
I think she gets overly excited, where she knew she could kind of, like, conquer this pop world, and then she could still rap, and she does these R&B things, and she has some really weird tracks, like Stupid Ho is just like, I don't, but I love it. Like, but it's so hard to be like, this is why I
remember,
like, this song.
Yeah, you really
like
it.
Yeah, I still stand for that song. It's so good.
I mean, it's insane, but it's so different sometimes too. But I, you know, in a way where I always compare her to Kanye, which really gets me in trouble. But and I don't think they're, you know, I don't think she's at that level yet. But, you know, he's had, all of his albums are cohesive as a whole, and they all sound a different way, even though he plays with sounds like, you know, Yeezus doesn't sound anything like College Dropout, but they have the same themes, where Nicki's is just this really, like, schizophrenic, you know, here's an R&B song, here's me rapping, but then it goes into this bubblegum pop, and it's all over the place. She doesn't have the classic album yet, and I hope that Pink Print is one.
Is her classic
album. Or at least, you know, a cohesive album as a whole, where it has kind of one sound throughout. And if it's all like Pills and Potions, that's fine. I'm curious to see what happens.
Well, it's really indicative, because, like, I interviewed Nicki right before Pink Friday came out, and I wrote a piece for a magazine I was working for at the time called YRB, and she was telling me, like, the quotes were like, I know that this is a classic, this is an undeniable classic, and, like, it wasn't. It just had classic records on it.
Right.
I think that's because she doesn't realize how to keep it focused. Like, there are no threads through her albums. And, like, we don't know if the Pink Print might do that. It might not. But, like, so far she hasn't really shown that.
Yeah. Lauren, you mentioned Kanye. And I was thinking how with Kanye's, like, earlier albums, we did get kind of, like, a hint of what he was going to do later. Like, I know you could hear a little bit of Yeezus, like, on the Late Registration and some of, like, the Daft Punk songs and all that stuff. So I'm wondering if, like, Nicki's first two official albums are, like, somewhat of a preview as to maybe some, you know, what Pink Print will be about.
It's hard, because I think if you look at a few songs and you're like, these were hits, making a whole album of stuff like this, that would make sense. But at the same time, it's so all over the place that I don't know which way she's going to go.
Do you want it all over the place?
There's a problem. Like, I don't think she can make an album full of Pills and Potions. Like,
yeah, she can't.
She'll isolate one part of her fan base. Like, she has two fan bases that she can't marry at all. Like, or at least she hasn't figured out how to do it yet. I don't know if she'll be able to do it this time, but, like, she can't veer in one lane and stay in that lane without, you know, cutting off certain listeners.
Right. What were you saying?
It's a hard battle. I mean, you have Fancy and you have Problem right now in the one and two spots, right? So when you have something like Fancy, it's a pop song, but Iggy is rapping the whole time, and it's, you know, Nicki's done stuff like that. I don't know if I'd want a whole album of stuff like that. I do want her to kind of gain this. I mean, I don't care what she does, but I want her to do, you know, because she can rap, and people were so obsessed with these street singles, and I think a lot of them caught, you know, people off guard. But for the last year, she's had great guest verses too. So when she's on a guest verse, she kills it. I just want to see her do that on the majority of the songs. And something like Pills and Potions, like I said, is the most personal. So if the story is there and she's actually has a cohesive album that tells her story, you could have a Pills and Potions on there and you could have a straight up crazy rap song. But it's hard. With what has happened in the past, it's hard to really determine what it's going to be. But from the producers that she's been working with, she has Vinyl, Boy Wonder.
Right.
That's who Drake and Wayne have been working with.
I think,
so.
I mean, you brought up a point where, like, rapping about her life and being personal. And I don't think that she is personal enough on her records. And, I know she's a huge fan of Miss Education, and that record is so incredibly personal, and you know that it's coming from the heart. And it's so honest. And Nicki hasn't done a lot of records like that. Like, I could maybe name, like, five records that are that personal.
Right.
But that's it.
Freedom is, like, one of her... I always taught, like, there's a lot of tracks that I haven't, you know, super gotten into at first off, like, the re-up. But Freedom is this, like, very weird song that she performed at the Billboard Awards. Mm-hmm. And she's super personal on it. But you could just tell she's fed up with the industry. All these people, like, didn't have her back. But it's still so vague. She's not
right.
Any names.
Right.
It's like, I feel that you're really fed up. And, like, all these other female rappers aren't really... I don't know if they need to thank her. But, like, she opened all the doors for a bunch of other women in the industry, and you could tell she was fed up, but she just never takes it to that point where you're like, you are so heartbroken. It kind of like floats on the surface all
right.
the time. And that's what, even Pills and Potions is like that.
That's one thing is with Pills and Potions, like I was excited because it was very personal, but also I wish that she didn't need to say that it was like personal and based on a true story kind of thing. Cause it's just like, she's had other personal songs, but she had to say that it was in order for people to be like, oh my God, you're finally telling your story. And it's just like, maybe she was, she just wasn't so clear enough.
Right. But I mean, that's artistry too. Like you can be vague and still be personal, but
right.
The problem is she's never been so, so deeply personal that, you know, we really get to know her because she always hides behind these characters.
Right.
So,
I'm going to list her top her 17 top 10 songs, including Pills and Potions. You guys got to tell me which one's your favorite one.
I'll tell you right now.
No, stop. So also they include songs that she's featured on. So it's not only singles of hers. So Lil Freak by Usher, My Chick Bad, Your Love, Bottoms Up, Right Through Me, Moment for Life, Did It On 'Em, Super Bass, Dance, and ass. You the Boss, Make Me Proud, Take It to the Head, Bees in the Trap, Girl on Fire, Tap Out, Love More, and Pills and Potion.
I didn't know Tap Out made it.
I sure did.
Great verse, though. Great verse.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised.
It sure did.
You go first. I mean, there are two songs that stick out to me as my favorite. Obviously, her guest verses are incredible. Like, My Chick Bad is so epic. Like, it's a classic. But the songs that really do it for me are, I think Your Love is my favorite Nicki song. It's like so indicative of her versatility.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just such a smart concept to take a Eurythmics sample and flip it, or Annie Lennox, whatever. And, it's just a seamless pop song. And, I would say the other one is Super Bass because obviously it's like Esther Dean wrote the shit out of that song. And like,
yeah.
It's an incredible.
She also wrote Pills and Potions, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They work together a lot.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Esther's really behind the scenes.
I wish Monster was on here.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
It's weird.
I really, really, really
I'm
like
tired
Monster.
Of Monster, though.
Really?
I feel like everyone always brings that up. It's like when you talk about Nicki, I mean, I love it, but
right.
Anytime you talk about Nicki, it's brought up and it's like, all right, that was a long time ago.
I think the reason I like it is because she seems to fight the title of being a female rapper instead of just being called a rapper. So when she's on a song with like Kanye and Jay and Rick Ross and she stands out, it like, you know, proves to her point that she doesn't need to be titled female.
Can right. just be a rapper. She's just a rapper.
But we'll talk about that after this. What song of the
I'm with Super Bass too. I've always loved Super Bass. I think it's incredible. And I think I hate using the word balance with her all the time, but it's this really bubblegum poppy beat, but she's rapping, and it's kind of like that really could be her lane of like appeasing to both of her audiences. Did it on him though. Top favorite. And it's weird because I remember when I was in Buffalo at the time that came out, and all my friends didn't really like mess with Nicki, and I was like, okay, you have to listen to this song though. And my dude friends in the club would be like, oh my god, the beat drops. And I mean, that's, you know, one of my favorites. I do love Tap Out though. Tap Out's just
you love
Million Dollar. I don't know,
I Tap Out, but you were surprised that it was on.
Yeah, I'm surprised it's top 10 because I mean, okay, I had to argue for Rise of an Empire as being one of the best albums of the year so far. And
it's wow. a bold opinion.
It's really hard to defend. But I love
Did you just focus on the Nicki song and trophies? Or you like the trophies?
I really like Good Day. I really like the fake T-Pain song with PJ Morton. You already know it's like a fake T-Pain song. It's great. I love the like Young Money cuts. Like yeah. Bedrock, even Bedrock. Like it's so corny now. Oh my god, it's painful to listen to now. But that was something I used to, when I got my first car. That's all I played in the world. Cobalt, I was singing, like chain smoking out the window, rapping.
Aww.
But yeah, did it on.
What's
favorite on that list?
That's also the song you would play for others to convince them to be a Nicki fan or a Nicki stan.
It's really hard to convince people to stan. It's
yeah, a little I would agree.
Embarrassing at this point. But
that's
did
song
it on them. I Get Crazy is usually what I play first, which is off her mixtape. Uh-huh. So
the craziest thing is on that mixtape, I think my favorite song, not to veer the conversation away, but you mentioned that. My favorite song is when she basically remixed Best I Ever Had.
Mm-hmm.
She just kills it. Like she only sings on it, and she shows up Drake on his own track. Like that's when I knew she had the potential to be huge.
Yeah.
Right. Would that be the song that you play to others if they're like, send me one Nicki song
probably
that I
not.
Have to hear? What would
I'd probably
be?
play like Itty Bitty Piggy because she just raps so hard.
I always like I Get Crazy more than Itty Bitty.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird because everyone's always like Itty Bitty. I'm like, no, I Get Crazy because that's the same. I would play like that and then did it on I just remember going on vacation with a bunch of friends from home and that's what I played. And they messed with it. But then everyone heard Starships and all these other things. But I like Starships too as a pop record.
I don't.
Really?
I just thought she sold out. I thought it was a big sellout moment.
It's
like
so fire
she was trying,
when I hear
she was
it.
Trying to be Lady Gaga, and like, so when I heard she was linking back up with Dr. Luke, who produced Starship,
scary.
I was like, she's gonna veer.
So
in
is it a sellout
that
if
lane.
That's what she really wanted to do? Saying, let's say that's what she wanted to do. Is it a sellout if she did
wanted
what she
to just
wanted
be
to
a
do?
Singer?
To wanted to just do mostly pop music.
I don't think so. I think that it was such a left turn for her to do something like Starships because it was a Lady Gaga song and like she was trying to kind of fit into that box. She was fitting herself into an area where she had never really been. And I just thought that that's the definition of selling out when you like go beyond your own means and turn your back on what made you who you are in the first place.
Right. We touched a little bit about how she should be referred to as a rapper, not a female rapper. Do you guys agree? Is that something that you think about even as writers when you're she's a female rapper? Not even her, just female rappers in general.
It's like such a struggle to talk about. I remember Craig Jenkins called me out on Twitter one time and I was like, can we?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ban the term female rapper, but I guess it would be like ignoring gender bias, which I get that, but it's hard. Like, it's gotten to a point now where, you know, I don't write about Nicki. When I'm writing about just Nicki or just Rhapsody or just Nitty Scott or just Iggy, I don't call them female rappers. But when you're talking about, I guess, let's say you're doing a list and I want to just highlight women, I call it female. It's just hard. It depends on the situation. It still boxes women in. It doesn't matter if right. you get rid of the term or not. People are still going to say, like, she's the best female rapper, but she's one of the best rappers, and she is the best female rapper.
Yeah.
But it's hard. I don't know. Yeah,
I mean, that's a huge conversation that always happens in hip-hop when right. it comes to, you know, putting gender in front of the term rapper. Like, people don't call rappers male rappers.
Right.
I think that's also because female rappers... well, it's such a masculine culture, and right. it's really hard for women's voices to get heard.
Yeah. I think that's the reason why right. we go with female rappers
right. sometimes. I don't think the term female rapper is bad,
right.
but I do know a lot of female rappers who take that personally, and yeah. I understand why.
I think it's bad only if... like, that's the only time you talk about them. Like, if you're only calling them the best female rapper, or you're saying she's the best out of the female rappers, it's like you're not considering them in the same realm as, you know, everyone else. And that's why Monster is important, because I always say she outshined all of them.
Yeah, right? She Those stomped are the best all over rappers, the guys.
Especially the time, yeah. like, Ross, that was a great time for Ross, too. It was like, right. she outshined all of them. So in that situation, I'd be like, she was the best rapper on that song. And it bothers people, because they still want you to say female rapper.
Right.
Yeah, no. We talked about the pop and the rap side, but what do you guys think overall of her evolution? Sonic evolution.
I was talking about this the other day with a friend about like the four phases of Nicki. And it's like old Nicki, which is like Beam Me Up. And that was her rapping and singing and just doing whatever she so pleased and having really a lot of fun with it. Mm-hmm. And then there was new Nicki, which like Pink Friday, where she, you know, settled into her groove and, you know, embraced a poppier sound, but didn't turn her back on what made her Nicki in the first place. And then it was like brand new Nicki with Reloaded, which like she became a brand and had to sell herself. And like she did pop records like crazy. And then she had a few hard records. And now she's in like next phase Nicki, which I don't know if she knows what she's doing yet, or we don't know at least, but she got back to the essence. So she's kind of rebooting and kind of tracing the same trajectory of being like rap, rap, rap. And then here's my singing rap single that could, you know, go both ways.
I agree with like the phases. I think she really wanted to be a brand. I think she wanted to build an empire. I think she has an empire. She's on the Forbes list. Like she's a yeah. big, sorry now, but I think, you know, I'm down. I don't hate on people getting money, and she got money. If someone was like, I'm, you know, you want more pop and here's a perfume and you're going to sell it at Macy's and it's like your head on a perfume bottle, that's fine. You're making millions of dollars off it. I don't think that's selling out to me. But I think now she's finally kind of in like true artist form. She's not just having people throw records at her and going from EDM to R&B to pop to whatever. Right. Like it's not, I think she's really in that artist form now. I think it's interesting too, because she's made all this money, she's established herself, mm-hmm. she has 17 top tens. It's crazy,
right?
And now she can really work on like the art form of music. That's why even with something like Pills and Potions, it's so similar to Things, but it's also really different. It was like you could tell she really, I mean, she also talked it up as if she spent a lot of time mm-hmm. thinking about what she was going to do. And you know, I interviewed Vinyls after he did Chirac, and it's hearing the stories of how she's working even with the producers now is something that, I mean, I don't really know what Nicki's like in the studio. Tell me what it's like to work with her. And the stories I heard just of her even flying a little, her about to LA, it was like she's really making an effort to like stay true to the music now and work on it. But she's an empire. I'm down with it. I was down for her branding herself, but I don't think she's ever going to be old Nicki again.
Right. Yeah, see, like, I would never... I mean,
I don't think we want her to be
I think
either,
a
right?
lot of people do.
They still
I think
want
a lot of people want her to just like
the
drop
tape,
like
Nicki?
Basically Beam Me Up Scotty in album form
right.
and then be like, she made a rap classic or she made a whole rap album.
Right.
And I don't know. I don't think that's ever going to happen, which is fine.
Yeah, I personally don't. I mean, I know... I agree that there are people that probably that want that. I wouldn't want to hear that, because then it's just like
critics.
Now you're just jeopardizing your creativity. Now you're like, okay, I will only focus on, like you said, there's two fan bases, and that would be her focusing only on one.
Right.
And I guess the challenge is to create an album that is for both fan bases.
Right. I mean, you can't please everyone, obviously, but I think the role of an artist is to try to do that, because when you make music, it's because you want it to be heard.
Right.
And you want the biggest audience. And I think for Nikki, she definitely wants that, but she's still feeling her way through the dark.
Right. There's, well, clearly we just have one single off the Pink Print, so we really don't know what it will sound like. But what are your hopes? What are you crossing your fingers for? Whether it be her working with someone or how it sounds or a certain type of sound on a song.
I just want her to nail like a cohesive album. And especially because now the way that we look at albums, it's like I like YG's album then more than I like 50 Cent's album. Mm-hmm. It tells a story. The same way everyone raved about Good Kid, Mad City.
Right.
Everyone wants to, especially in 2014, you know, like you really are, you see what these artists are doing every day. You want to know what their life is like. I want to know your story. And, you know, sonically, I hope that she has some really fire songs that are like Chirac or that are like Lookin'. But as a whole, I just want her to have a cohesive album that tells a story that she feels finally comfortable and happy enough to tell to her fans. And she has a crazy fan base. And I think that they want
more
that.
Yeah.
I think there are two things that I want with this record. And I think the first one is for her to stop being such a goofball and take it seriously. Because I think that was, I re-listened to Rum Reloaded this week before this.
That
just
makes
to
Lauren very happy.
Reacquaint myself.
She's smiling.
And I mean, the first half, she's so goofy for the sake of being goofy. Like,
right.
I think Come on a Cone, like at the end when she's.
Right.
Yeah, we all know
it. Noises.
It.
When you revisit it, some of the noises are just like. What? And I
couldn't
wish someone
take
had like
seriously.
An in-video, like an in-studio video of her. Because I'm like, how do you...
I just imagine I'm a human being. The little YouTube clip of her.
Oh, the human being.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's the voice I like.
That's in my Twitter bio. So.
I know.
So, yeah.
It's my favorite clip.
Yeah.
You gotta watch it every so often to amp yourself up.
Exactly. Empowerment. But I think on Pink Friday, she had a sense of humor. Mm-hmm. But she wasn't goofy, so I don't want any of that. I think that kind of ties into the second point, which, like, I think the barbs will come from my neck, but that is to kill Roman and kill
Roman's
Martha.
Dead.
Well,
Roman's so dead. Roman is dead.
I know that she did say it. I know she said it, but she also said that Pills and Potions was her most personal song. So, like, it's all kind of at face value, but I don't want any of those to reappear. Like, I listened to Roman's Revenge the other day, and I was like, that is awesome. And then I listened to the second record, what's the record that opens it?
For what? When we were talking about I'm the Best?
No. Roman Reloaded. God, what's the record? Can we edit
this? The actual
Roman song, right?
That Roman opens. Holiday.
Yes, yeah. Roman Holiday.
That one's nuts.
I was just like, I can't listen to this
Roman's
ever
Revenge
again. And she played it at the Grammys, too,
do you remember
that
performance?
Oh, God, that was horrible.
Well, we were in this Twitter battle the other day about what song is the best. And so I was
off
waiting on
Friday.
Bedford, and I was just sitting there listening to all these songs. I was like, oh, forgot about the noises.
Yeah.
No, but Roman is dead. Heard that when she was talking
to
Jade 45.
I hope Martha's dead too. Just,
oh, she did have.
She had a,
the
she,
mom. That's Roman.
The mom.
Yeah.
So you don't want any characters.
I mean, it ties into the goofy thing. Like, I just would rather she take herself seriously.
Right.
Would you rather hear Slim Shady or Eminem?
Well, that's different because Slim Shady, like,
he really
allows him.
Yeah.
Well, it also allows him to say all this stuff that is just so provocative. And instead, like, I think Roman didn't really say provocative stuff. It was just a way for her to seem crazier or whatever.
Yeah.
You're okay with that?
Are you holding back fighting words?
No, I'm like, good point. What'd you think of the Pills and Potions video?
That was boring.
Diane Martel.
I thought it was art for art's sake.
Yeah.
I think it was more of a
It reminded
commercial.
Me of We Can't Stop, but I'm down, but I don't understand the game being in it.
He
looks great.
That grizz,
he looks
that, like,
great. But I was like, what?
Beard.
And she said, she was on Twitter. She was like, that was the first time we met. And I looked up Nikki in game. And there was old photos. And I was like, Nikki, that's so shady. Like, he's in. It's funny.
I just didn't. I could have done without the Pills speakers falling to the ground.
Oh, Beats Pill.
Yeah. And I'm like,
really?
Okay.
And it's like the jumbo Beats Pill too. I was like, actually, like the smaller white Beats Pill would have been a better fit. It really looks like a pill. That looks gigantic. I hated the tears.
Oh, I like that.
I like
it
the tears.
It made my skin crawl. I don't know why. Like it was.
I loved it.
I'm glad that that gave you a sense. So it was like,
I thought that was the most interesting part of the video. Yeah. I thought everything else was just.
Her looks in it, though, were great.
Oh, yeah, of course. I love stripped down Nikki. That's always something to talk about.
Too. Right. The stripped down Nikki.
Getting back to the essence.
That was something, too, with her new music. It was like, I think that people thought when she debuted this natural look without all the crazy hair and stuff, they were like, she's going back to her roots, where I think what it actually turned out to be was that she is, like, stripped down emotionally, and that's what she's trying to get to.
Right.
Right.
Like, going back to straight rap, which was interesting, too, because I didn't read that at first. So
that makes sense, though, to kind of put those two together.
It's more about the emotions in the song rather than just, like, the raps, which was...
And she's very much an artist that puts her style hand in hand with the music that she makes.
Oh, yeah. Also, I think Pills is an understated song. Like, it's not in your face. It doesn't go crazy. And, like, you can't be wearing a pink wig when you're doing that.
Right.
It would have been weird.
funny.
All right.
So before we close this episode, you mentioned 50 Cent. So I wanted to talk about 50 Cent just very, very quickly. So he debuted on the Billboard 200 at number 4 and number 1 on the R&B and hip hop albums chart. But he sold 47,000. And my first thought was, it's 50 Cent. Why is he only selling 47,000? His last album was in 2009 and it did better than this. Clearly different times. But what do you guys think as far as 50 selling that number specifically?
I mean, he released damn near the whole album.
He did release.
Coming up to it. I think that was the worst marketing plan.
His marketing rollout was atrocious.
He was dropping songs on, I think it was Sunday or Monday, but let's say Mondays, and then videos the next Tuesday morning. It's what hype is left. I think, again, like the same way I would, if Nicki did that, I'd still listen to it and I'd still buy the album. But, and I think the same could be said for 50 Cent. And he still has a crazy audience and people love him. But I think, especially in 2014, with, you know, everyone's little surprise drops here and there, there wasn't enough excitement behind it. And so sometimes you just were like, okay, this is 50's track of the week. And so then if you bought most of the singles, why would you buy the album? So I wasn't really confused by the sales. It made sense to me. But
because of the marketing.
Yeah.
Execution.
Beyonce dropped an album out of nowhere. Like, you gotta play it up, be something different. And I've never, I don't know, do people do that often? I don't think people
drop albums out of the sky.
No. I wish. Well, actually, no, I don't wish. I would literally make my life
a living.
Yeah, oh my
God, when Beyonce drops her album, it's over.
But, you know, a song and a video back to back every single week leading up, or not even every, almost every single week.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's pretty much every week, yeah.
It just lost the hype of it. And I think, you know, I saw him at Summer Jam, and some of the songs got a crazy response, and some didn't from where I was sitting.
From the album or from his
From the album, the newer songs, yeah. But then, you know, if you play G-Unit song, when G-Unit, it was crazy.
Right.
So people still love him, but I just think the rollout made it less exciting. So I don't think a lot of people were compelled to actually buy the full album.
Right.
And all the videos are out.
Yes, because they followed the singles.
So you don't even have the excitement of like, oh, I can't wait to see what this video is going to be like. I mean, who really? There's not really great music videos right now.
Right. Anyway, I think this album was originally supposed to be a mixtape, right?
Well,
that's my general understanding.
What is it? Street King Immortal?
Yeah.
Is supposed to be the mixtape, which is supposedly still coming out. That too, is it too much 50 music?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, I have a different opinion on why the album didn't really sell that well.
Right.
And like, I've talked to you about this before and I wrote a track by track of Get Rich, Die Trying for you guys in my freelancer days. And and I said it then, I'll say it now. He's a nostalgia act. People aren't checking for new 50 records like they were, and like 47,000 people are, but you know, a million people aren't going to rush out and buy it. And I think, you know, it says something when you reunite your old group and people are way more excited about that than your new record. Like,
right.
People are holding on to the past. They don't want to buy your record. They just want the glory of what it right. used to be.
Is there a way out of that, though?
Doing something different?
Yeah.
His stuff isn't. I mean, I don't know. I like all the weirdo rap of 2014. I love it. Like, I want rap to be, like, as weird as possible. So I think some of that stuff, you know, it just doesn't fit as well as it did in 2003. And I think, you know, it's, like, great for us. We're like, I remember getting 50's albums. Like, I was excited, but I'm not excited for it now. It's like, I need something different. It's been 10 years.
I think it's
also
that you're not learning something new about it.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, he's plateaued. So it's like, do I want him to make the music that Young Thug makes? Absolutely not. But I want something different. And I think his fans, you know, will still go out and buy his stuff. But I do agree with you about him being a nostalgia act.
Right. Well, the problem is New York has such integral sound, and that's that boom bap sample based, you know, whatever. I mean, the new 50 record, from what I've heard, I didn't listen to the whole thing and I don't plan on it, it has that sound. It's just more slick. It sounds more produced. And I think that's why someone like YG is making waves and doing something different. It sounds like nothing else. It's right. Like that's
still very much
he found like that a way to flip, you know, like the Ali Resurgence thing, but he found a way to flip kind of like the old, like Dua Tia samples the Dog Pound. And right. It's like, it's not the same sound right. as the Dog Pound, but it's like, you know, he's paying homage, and then it's a new sound that, you know, plays off the old sound, which that's cool.
It's a new
to
sound
me.
Of a nostalgic
yeah.
era.
And that's why, like, I think YG's stuff is great.
There's also the storytelling part
yeah,
of it all.
There's that too.
Yeah. I mean, what does 58 have left to say now too? I think you touched on that. Like,
but then the question is, like, someone like Cameron.
Cameron's just such a lyricist.
But with Dipshits, it was like, that was great. And that right. was, like, it felt like 2003. But right. people, you know, really loved that. That was took over Twitter. It was crazy. I mean, it's a great song.
I think
song.
Also what Cam is doing now, and this is a separate conversation, but, like, the stuff that he's doing with A-Track, Dipshits, and yeah, then right. Humphrey, the yeah. first song that mm-hmm. came from the EP, it just sounds so different for Cam, and it sounds so different for New York rap, and like the
it's a fresh old sound,
right?
Like
exactly.
The same thing as a, yeah.
sounds like Diplomat stuff, like Diplomatic Immunity, except right. like in 2014, and that's right. exactly what it should be. Maybe 50 sounds like music that's slicker, but that's like 2004.
Yeah. So he hasn't.
It's a hard balance.
Learned how to do that yet?
Right.
Right.
And yeah. maybe he should start working with someone like an A-Track or something to have more fun with it.
Right.
I think Cam, people just love Cam too. But see, I love 50 as a personality. I think he's hilarious.
Right.
I love his Instagram.
Yeah, maybe he should just get a TV show or like.
Well, he's executive producing. And yeah. he's on Stars.
Well, yes.
I know, but show. I don't know. I haven't watched Stars
I haven't watched
years.
That.
I
mean,
it's a different type of show if he's actually showing that personality you see on like his Instagram
as long as
videos.
He doesn't do a reality TV show. Although, you know. No, I don't want him. No. No reality TV
show. I think he it would be like a sports or like an entertainment talk show.
Yeah.
Right.
He clearly voices
he
his opinion.
Talk show. That'd be great.
Or like 50 Cent on the Today Show. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Just every morning him like on another planet. It'd just be so great.
He is a funny dude. I think if I would still go see him live. I still listen to some of the new stuff, but I think he just needs to, you know, find a way to make the sound that he wants to make and make it fit for 2014.
But that is it for this week's episode of the Juice Podcast. Thank you guys for coming by.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having us.
You're welcome to come by again, even if
yay.
It's not Nikki related.
Okay. Yeah.
we know more rap than Nikki.
I know.
But, you know,
but
down.
Nikki is, yeah.
Cool.
So thank you guys.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.